This is Sales Ops Demystified, the number one most downloaded podcast in sales operations. We invite the brightest minds in sales operations onto the show to deconstruct the why, what, and how behind rep productivity, forecasting, metrics, and all things revenue. This podcast is brought to you by Ebster, the leading customer engagement platform for Salesforce. Hello, and welcome to another very special episode of the Sales Ops Demystified podcast. Today, we're joined by Jeff Wadholm, who has a plethora of experience running operations, revenue operations, and sales operations for a number of different businesses. Currently at Mindbody. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
And let's kick this off, because I'm seeing about 7 years of experience, right? But I want to understand how you transitioned. It was from finance, like the finance area, into operations.
So I grew up, my early career was in sales, fairly tragic experiences, before the internet, cold calling, picking up the phone book and finding names and calling. So, had a good unsuccessful run in sales. But my early career aspirations were, I was in FP&A and finance, loved the analytics side and loved living in spreadsheets and data. So I spent quite a few years doing that. I worked for a big company out of Amsterdam called Wolters Kluwer, and loved working in their FP&A team. Had a lot of great experiences, and I always attribute it to a big chunk of the success of my career. I believe that finance is the language of business, and it really set me up to understand how data works and how important it is to drive decisions based on that information. So. One day I had a sales leader who later became a friend and a mentor, and he just said, "Hey, why don't you come do that same thing you're doing over there? Come do it over here. A little closer to the fire, closer to the business." And that was about a decade ago. And I've been really enjoying the career journey ever since.
And that was to Provation when you moved from Wolters Kluwer. Okay. Awesome.
Was, yeah.
That was like the start of the sales, revenue, and business operations.
That's right. Yeah. That was the exit from FP&A and the entrance into the go-to-market side of the business. The funny quote I love to share is this leader and friend of mine said, you have too much personality to work in finance. And I said, well, you know, I'm partially offended and partially flattered. And it ended up being a great friendship, a great career move. You know, at the time, sales ops was not nearly as prevalent as it was today, and rev ops didn't have a seat at the table. So it was a bit of a risk in my mind, especially as a more, conservative finance leader at the time. So. But it's been a great transition. It's really been fun to join this side of the business. We have a lot of fun. We work hard and play hard on this side. It's really interesting to be on the front end of this, the results. In FP&A, you're doing a lot of back-end reporting, right? Reporting the weather. Yesterday it was 72 and sunny. The day before it was 55 and cloudy. And on the front end here in RevOps and SalesOps, you get to be part of the weather-changing team.
Exactly. Yeah. So not just reporting, but forecasting what could and might happen in the future.
That's right.
Awesome. Now let's focus in on Mindbody. You're not actually the first guest we've had from Mindbody. We could just quickly remind the listeners size of business and kind of size of sales team.
Yeah. So Mindbody is a SaaS company. We support the wellness industry. So fitness, integrative health, salons and spas. We're very, very large global organization, span across 30 or 40 countries, 50, 60,000 customers, and support. The interesting part is we support both businesses and we have a play for consumers or customers like you and I to be able to connect themselves to wellness. And our global sales organization is anywhere between 150, 175 total global reps. And primarily, our go-to-market motion is inside sales.
Awesome. And the current kind of sales or revenue ops tech stack?
So our revenue operations function supports a fairly broad stack, but our core competencies are around Salesforce, our enablement platform that we use is Outreach. We're an Eloqua user, big proponents of Gainsight. We also leverage InContact as well on the CS side. So our revenue operations team spans the full go-to-market revenue suite. So we go across all the different verticals and partner into those organizations.
Got it. Awesome. Now, I assume you guys have been going slightly more remote over the past few months. What challenges has that brought up, and what are you guys doing to alleviate those?
Yeah. You know, we're a little interesting business case because of the fact that we were primarily inside sales before the world flipped on its head. And so we have a different set of challenges, and the challenges for us are around motivation, around compensation, around customer empathy. Being in the industry that we're in, supporting the fitness industry, which has been just decimated with shutdowns, salons have been shut down. We don't have the lifeline that, you know, supporting a necessary business, right? Like a hospital or a grocery store. And so for us, the biggest challenge has been is how do we continue to run the business, attempt to grow the business, but also, you know, do right by our customers. We're a very customer-centric organization, and leading with empathy has been the core of how we go to market, but also the biggest challenge we have. So our teams are used to spending time on the phone, spending time in our systems. So thankfully for us, the change management there was a bit less than if we had field sales. But now it's been around, you know, the outreach and the content and the enablement and the approach. And then internally at Mindbody, like most folks, we're focused on how do we stay connected? How do we stay well? How do we stay healthy? And make sure that our reps are in a good place to be able to go support our customer base the best that we can.
Got it. So both trying to support the customers and then the reps. Question though, like surely a number of deals in the pipeline of your reps will probably just be off the cards for a number of months, right? What were you trying to, like, what guidance were you giving the reps to reach out and speak with these people? Like, were you creating content about how they can, like, get through the time? Like, how did that work?
Yeah. So I think early on in the COVID crisis, Mindbody has differentiated itself as a thought leader in our industry. We've really relied on our C-suite, our marketing team, our sales enablement organization have done a great job of providing resources. And for us, it's been less about how do we monetize the downturn, and instead, how do we help these customers who are our peers of ours? These are friends of ours, you know, who owns a gym and a salon and a spa and a massage. That's just people like you and I, Tom. And so we've spent most of our time working on how do we be thought leaders around what does the world look like at a gym once the world opens, and how do you be safe, and how do we talk about cleanliness and social distancing in the gym space? On the salon and spa side, we've been talking about how do you have a contactless journey, right? So how do we have our customers, our customer's customer come in, get their hair done, go for a massage without doing any of that typical, transaction of dollars or payments. And then the big thing that we did was reacted quickly with a new product around our video. And so just being a video on demand and live stream options was our, you know, biggest corporate response from a product perspective to be able to show our customers, hey, we're here with you. And we've got a product offering that is in line with where we are in the market. So that was, you know, again, for us, it's been less about how do we come out of this, you know, financially successful, and on the other side, how do we become industry leaders? How do we make sure that we're leading with our empathy with our customers and just taking care of those around us?
Got it. I mean, it makes total sense to create content around that kind of stuff because you're able to help them. That adds value to them, but also then they're be better customers for you guys. It makes total sense.
Exactly. The hope eventually is that when the world turns around, we all remember the relationships we built during COVID. And for our sales organization, it's been an incredible, challenging time, like most sales organizations. I think, you know, sure, there's been a few industries where there's been tailwinds, but you know, prevailing headwinds across most industries, and we're no different. And so our sales team has been heads down. We've been trying to provide content that caters, you know, as best as possible to the environment we're in. And as you mentioned, you know, things like forecasting and you know, growth rates and targets. This is hopefully a once in a lifetime space that we're in, and so we're just taking it day by day.
Got it. How have the targets or objective for the reps changed?
Yeah, that's been the biggest challenge from a purely sales operations is just how do you set targets that motivate and reward our sales organization? How do you do right by your organization, right? From a expense standpoint, to make sure you're managing your expenses, it's been a challenge. So it's been a bit of a belt and suspenders approach. Our executive team is more involved than ever in how we succeed as a business. How do we make sure that our reps can find success and have success? And for us, we've changed the commission model some to make sure that we're accounting for the non-predictability. And then, you know, of course, changed our targets and our plans to accommodate for the environment that we're in. So it's been probably less of a 180, more of a 90-degree turn for us. But it's been, you know, day by day, month by month, in a prevailing SMB business like we are. It's high velocity, and so we run our business accordingly. We're changing as the environments change, and trying to make sure we do right by our teammates, our sales organization, and still with the foundation around how do we do best by our customers.
Got it. Do you think the commission changes are going to be temporary or permanent?
It's a great question. I think it's too early to answer that with any sort of certainty. I think the reps are in the same boat as all of us. We see what's happening in the world. We see unemployment levels. We see all of the craziness that's happening in COVID. And so, you know, we're definitely taking it, we're all in this together approach. My hope as an ops leader would be that we all learn something, right? Let's take this opportunity and say, hey, when we look back in the rearview mirror, we're standing on the beach, arm in arm, looking back at the waves, we say, we learned a few things here. Will comp plan changes be permanent? I don't know, maybe not. And you know, probably a little bit based on recovery, a little bit based on feedback. But I know for sure that we're going to take some of the lemonade we've squeezed here and bring it with us for sure.
Forecasting, are accurate forecasts possible right now? How are you able to create confidence?
Yeah. So I would say I'll put on our sales leaders. Our sales leaders have been incredible. We've had still a very predictable business. Sure, there's been retraction like there is everywhere in the world and how in our numbers and performance. But as a general statement, our forecast predictability has been pretty darn accurate. And we have a great sales leadership team. We're staying close to the deals in an SMB business like ours. When you're not relying on multi-million-dollar deal that's very binary to the success of your forecast, we get a little bit more predictability. So we're in the volume game of how do we make sure that we're staying ahead of that, looking at pipeline, voice of field. It's a bit of an art and less of a science right now. But I'll ride right on our sales leaders. They've stayed really close, very communicative through this time, and we've had pretty good luck on hitting targets. And our sales organization has responded to the environment in a fantastic way. Something we're really proud of. I'm proud of is the team. The team has buckled down and worked twice as hard in the most challenging environment. And I think we're feeling and celebrating our own internal successes. Given the headwinds we're facing.
Cool. KPIs. Have you changed the metrics that you've been tracking since the virus?
Yeah. I hope we all have. I know for sure we're not nearly as focused today on pipeline in and closed won deals out. Our focus has been much more on how do we make sure that we are, again, putting our customers at the forefront of everything we do, and then kind of following that through the life cycle, right? Is how does that translate to pipeline? What do conversion rates look like during this time? How do we think about Things like customer retention and expense management internally. It's been a different dialogue. You know, probably the 80-20 looks the same, and maybe even the 90-10. But I think we're taking different early indicators, a few lagging indicators. We have a really, really impressive data science team that stayed on top of trends across the world as different regions are closing and opening, you know, based on their status with COVID, and using those indicators to say, okay, what might this look like when this next region of the world opens, and how do we make sure that we help our customers come out of it successfully? And at that point, then hopefully, you know, expand our impact in their businesses. So I think we've been a little bit more predictive that way. And then looking, lagging at some of the impacts and lagging, and then how do we feed that into the forecast? We've done a pretty good job, I think, of managing through it. Great communication. Going home for all of us, we went 100% remote, you know, like a lot of us. And our communication, I think, has increased in volume and effectiveness and efficiency, and that's really helped us to stay afloat on where things are in the world.
Awesome. Now, final two questions, and they're actually kind of the same question: is what or who is the one person who's been the most inspirational in your SalesOps career?
Oh, that's a really great question. I think probably the people that have been the most inspirational are people that are on my teams. I would say that I've worked with a few people that stand out as just some of the finest operators that I've ever worked with. What I love about sales and revenue ops is the variety of backgrounds and personalities that you get. So you have, you know, very technical folks, right? You know, multidimensional workflows, API, interoperability. You've got highly analytical folks that are deep in the data and reporting and analytics. You have your creative types that are in enablement, putting customer-facing documents together. And then, of course, you've got operators who are tasked with making it all happen, right? And I think probably the most inspirational folks are people that I've got to watch day to day. Be in their best swim lane. And I can think of a few of the people I've had the chance to work with offhand, just watching them operate at that highest level, taking that thing that looked unattainable and making it so, the outputs that we get on the creative side, the solutions we solve. I think that's actually been the most inspirational to me. I try my hardest not to look up and out. I try to focus down and in, and maybe in 2020 with the resurgence of personal branding and all the things that are happening, it may not be the most fashionable, but I think the most inspirational people I've encountered have been inside of our organizations that I get to partner with every day. And that's not the cheeky, flattering response. I have had such great people that I've got to work with. I'd say I could probably think of a handful of them and say, yeah, that was special. Those guys are awesome.
What a lovely note to finish on. And the kind of one part that I think is going to be the most impactful from this episode is your quote about bringing some of the lemonade into the future. So with that, we'll close the episode. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate having me. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sales Ops Demystified podcast. If you are listening on a podcast listening application, then please subscribe, rate, and review. And if you have any questions about the show, if you know a guest, or if you have any questions about sales operations, just hit me up at tomhunt@ebster.com.
That's tomhunt@ebster.com.